Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Curse Hire for another week. A little bit later in the week than usual. Unfortunately, conflicting schedules between myself, Tom King, and Ben Castagnoli mean we haven't been able to bring you some podcast goodness. But instead, what we've done is we've sent Ben off for a managed week, and he's going to have a bit of a rest, sort of like Luke Dalhouse and Harry Taylor last week. And off the bench, great to have somebody who's just been making some waves on the K-Rock boundary line this year. Great to have Stampsy from the Departure Lounge on K-Rock. Hello, Stampsy.
Hey, Kingy. Yes, always grateful for the opportunity to learn from the best.
You won't learn anything here then?
No, K-Rock footy has given me an immense opportunity to step up in the footy world. And while I'll never be an elite athlete, I can definitely watch the great game firsthand on the boundary.
Yes. Who's been your favourite post-game interview this year?
Great question. I've only had three. You've put me on the spot here. I would probably say... I can't even remember.
I haven't even asked you to solve world peace yet. That'll come later in the show.
I was going to say, I can't even remember who I spoke to. It's all an incredible whirlwind.
You enjoyed Brendan McCartney, though, pre-game.
Pre-game, he was fantastic, especially when we could rip into you fellas.
He found an ally in you.
Absolutely.
In being able to hang Shizen.
Although
on us.
He insisted on calling me Leanne, not Stampsy.
Yeah, he wasn't comfortable with the...
Not with the nickname.
With the nickname. No, because he never calls me Kingy. I'm always Tom.
He's very formal.
He's
like
very
that.
Formal.
Very professional.
He's a ripper, Brendan. He's leaving the Demons. Which is disappointing.
That's going to be a great loss, especially with his insight and his... Well, composure pre-match, I don't know about during the game and post-match.
He's very good. We will miss him. Hopefully he stays in the AFL system. If not, well, hopefully he's involved somewhere, maybe locally. He still lives down at Barwon Heads, so obviously has ties to a couple of clubs down here as well. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the Cats. Did you take in some of the Docker debacle last week?
It was uncomfortable because we just want the Cats to maintain that top spot, because if they suffer another loss this week, they could potentially slip down to third.
Mm.
And then heading into Brisbane next week, looking at the Dockers, and it was not so much we were expecting the Cats to win, but how much the Cats would win by. And then seeing the Dockers just gain control last weekend and the Cats not really recovering.
Yep. They couldn't find a way out, and they couldn't find a way to match the speed of the Dockers. After probably midway through the second quarter, Cats led by, I think, 9 points, they led by 16 at quarter time or thereabouts. Mm. And I think sort of held a little bit of a buffer in the second quarter, but it fell away after. That was really disappointing in terms of, you know, especially when they go away, that just raises so many questions. Like most of them went from Sydney to Perth, had a couple of days off, which is part of their normal week. They have, you know, they're not at the club a lot during the week.
I guess that's the question a lot of people had, because they did have those extra days in Perth. Was that going to be of benefit, or was that going to hinder their preparation? Mm. But I guess as professional athletes, they should or can adjust to the change in conditions week in, week out.
Yeah, and it probably... I don't think it hindered their preparation. I suspect there might be some players who would have been more comfortable to come back to Geelong and fly on the Friday. Mm. But I know there's some players who were wrapped to be over there and didn't have to worry about travelling on the Friday.
Is that because they have their set routines that prepare them for the
correct.
Game?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so that becomes a bit of an issue for some of those players. You know, you're not in your own bed for most of the week. Just little things like that. Do they have an impact? I'm not sure. I think the word used by Chris Scott to say that analysis was superficial. Mm. When you say that, what impact did being in Perth all week have on it? Look, you just hope they bounce back this week. They haven't lost two in a row this year, so that's
some positive signs.
Fills me with some confidence that they'll beat North Melbourne. But if they continue this win-loss-win sequence that they've had since the bye, that inconsistency is not ideal. But, you know, Chris Scott said something interesting in his press conference during the week. Maybe the fact that we're playing a bit of, you know, that there's a bit of more scrutiny about what the Cats have to do and a bit more pressure around what they have to do, that maybe that's what the players needed, rather than, you know, they had the two-game and percentage buffer. Now they have only have the percentage buffer. That's something that hopefully springs them into action? Should that take that to spring them into action? Maybe not, but we can only wait and see tomorrow night.
I guess it's like cramming for your end-of-year final exam. You think you've got it, and then when you get to the main event, you're just pushing hard at the very end. So maybe it's a little bit like that for them. Maybe not that they've taken their foot off the accelerator, but maybe having that added pressure of it's now almost the finishing line,
yep.
Maybe that will bolster them, that will boost
them. Pushes them up, yep.
Is it the midfield, because throughout the year you guys have often on K-Rock Football spoken about the ruck and the centre clearances.
Yep.
You've got that strong offence, strong defence, strong forward line, strong back line. Mm. Is that where they really need to centre this weekend against North Melbourne?
The midfield battle's going to be, it always is crucial, but with who North do have in the midfield, and that is the likes of Cunnington, Higgins, Jai Simpkin, there is every, you know, the Cats are going to be really pushed in there. Last week, I think the Cats squared the centre clearances, and the overall clearances, there wasn't a massive difference either. Obviously, Sandilands got his hands on the footy more than Zach Smith did. You know, Todd Goldstein's no easy proposition for Zach Smith. The Cats are going to give Zach Smith a third game to prove himself. If it doesn't work this week, then where do they go? Not sure. Yeah, that's going to be like, you know, Cunnington's, you know, I think number three for clearances and number three for contested possessions in the AFL. Higgins is all class, and he was pretty impressive last time the Cats played North Melbourne back earlier in the year. So trying to get hold of those guys and limit their influence is going to be key.
There was call throughout the year to bring Zach Smith back to maybe give him a run into the finals.
Yep.
Then bringing him twice on the road with Sydney and now Perth, was that a good thing for Zach Smith? Because it's not even at home where you're bringing him in after a bit of a hiatus from the AFL, where he's been playing with the VFL.
Yep.
To take him, not only bring him back to the Cats, but take him on the road as well.
That's probably a good point, yeah, that he has to then, he's playing his footy in a different way in terms of preparation, you know. Yeah, in a different bed the night before, where he's played all his VFL, where he's, you know, it's either been in Geelong or suburban Melbourne. So that's probably a good point. Although AFL players adapt, and you've got to remember too, he played at the Suns for a while and was always travelling. So it probably isn't as big a deal for him, but he's got a big job this week against Goldstein. I suspect, see, last week, Blitzar started the last quarter in the ruck. Now, what sort of sign is that to Zach Smith? What does that do for his confidence? So it's quite interesting. I was down at the club today and Reece Stanley and Zach Smith walked in together. And they're fighting for the same spot. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Obviously, you know, footy clubs are pretty good places.
And absolutely. I mean, you're fighting for that spot, but you're still a team and you're still working together for the same outcome. You're only responsible for your own performance.
Yep.
So you can't think about what the other person's doing. You just need to concentrate on your own performance on the day.
Yep. Four changes for the Cats. Yep. Harry Taylor, Brandon Parfitt, Luke Dalhouse, Quinton Narkle. Narkle's name has been called for. I suspect he would have played earlier if he hadn't have had the hamstring issues that he's had through the year. Hasn't played since round 21 last year. It's almost a year to the day, I think it was. So the game, I think it was August 11 last year. It's August 10 tomorrow. So we see him, I think, for his seventh game.
And K-Rock Football, you guys have been eager for his return as well. By having him back in the side, how will that bolster them on the weekend?
Yeah, he uses the footy well.
Yeah,
he goes and finds the footy. Good appetite for the contest. So I suspect that he's going to have a real role to play. He won't spend a lot of time in the midfield, I wouldn't have thought. He'll play across half forward. Doesn't mind a goal.
Has he got pace?
He's got a little bit of toe. That's what Geelong lacked last week. You look at what they've brought in and what's gone out of the side. Like, obviously, Harry Taylor's not quick, but, you know, Parfitt moves fairly well. Dalhouse obviously does. Narkle does as well. You know, Jordan Clark's a massive blow. Like, he's had a cracking year. He's played all bar one game, Rising Star nomination. He's come on, I think, quicker than the Cats expected. He had glandular fever when he was drafted, but he hasn't put a foot wrong all year. But that injury on Wednesday at training with the elbow, sometimes you just got to be wrong place, wrong time. And unfortunately for him, we still haven't got a word yet on how serious that is. It was scanned, he was in a sling. It'll be interesting to see how bad it is. So hopefully the club provides a bit of an update on that as we go forward. Gary Rowan, knee issue, that's a blow as well. He hasn't been in great form. He's going to miss anywhere up to a month, at least a fortnight.
Right.
He might not seem to a first final. Would you bring him back for a first final? If the Cats find form and you have the formula they think is right.
And you want a team that has gelled, found form, but also has cemented their position too, because you want the momentum going forward.
Yeah, correct. You don't want to be making too many changes come finals time. You would think that the Cats are going to try and settle over the next fortnight with the lineup that they want. Scott Selwood dropped Lockie Henderson. Lockie Henderson wasn't the worst Cat out there last year. I actually thought he was one of the better Cats, but I don't think they can carry a team with Taylor and Henderson. Taylor Henderson.
Hey, local reference, hashtag Geelong Zone. With Scott Selwood, is it because there was no, or there's no one that needs tagging? Because it feels like he's only brought in when someone needs pressure put upon them.
He didn't tag against Sydney.
Right.
Last week, he had a run with Roll, but he really didn't. I don't think it was effective. Mm-hmm. He might have been ideal for Ben Cunnington this week.
Right.
Similar pace.
Yeah.
You know, like going and hunting the footy, but the Cats have decided that, gee, he's out of contract too, Scoot. He and Lockie Henderson. So decisions have to be made on those two at the end of the year.
Because there's no consistency with them in the first side.
No. We haven't seen it. Well, we've seen them both for two games for the year.
Is that all?
Yep. Yeah, poor Scoot just hasn't been able to have a run at it over the journey.
Is that just because the selection has ruled him out because they've had two or three options, or has it been a form thing?
Oh, since he's been fit, there hasn't been a space for him.
Yeah.
So he played, I think, 11 straight games in the VFL, which is probably the longest streak of footy he's actually played in his time at Geelong, but he just couldn't find a spot in the side. We always get questions every week from our friends at. So we pose a question on Big Footy. Here's some questions that we get asked. This is Catters 28. Where to begin after that debacle? We seem to be reverting back to the players that have let us down in finals gone by. Sorry for the long post ahead. Does Scott Selwood deserve a spot in our side in September? I think he's just too slow and will be exposed on the wide expanses of the G. Big Ground at Optus last week showed that he's the league speed's not. He never was quick. But he's probably lost maybe a yard as well. So we probably have had that answered at selection.
But does it also come into account that he hasn't had the time on the park as well? I mean, you need to prove yourself to get there, but you also need to clock up the Ks.
Maybe they thought a fortnight was enough
with
all the time he's had. Zach Smith, I was not against bringing him in, but I think I now we know he's just not up to it again, too slow. We just have to bring Stanley back in and pray to God that he can get back to his form from the start of the year. Well, Zach Smith's staying. Henderson was not our worst. However, he's again a player that slows us down and has failed to perform in finals. We have to be ruthless if we want a premiership. He has to go out. He's been dropped. Tui's been not offering the side enough this year. Hasn't been a great year for Zach Tui. Obviously, delayed start with the knee issue. He's hopefully one of those guys that it'll just click for him in the next couple of weeks and he'll be right.
But on Stanley, just back on that, it was around this time last year that he started to peak. So maybe heading into that finals, and as we were saying, you know, that urgency that's behind it now, maybe this is where he'll begin to lift again, because he hasn't had a horrendous season. It just hasn't been consistent in part. So maybe now is where his fifth gear will kick in.
Yeah. Overall, very disappointing. Some serious soul searching must be done or back us in for out in straight sets. What I also wrote, I've seen youth girls players that I would back in to kick a set shot from 20 metres out straight in front before I'd back Patrick Dangerfield in. It's one Patrick Dangerfield area that's not great is his set shot goal kicking.
Yeah, but it's made to sound completely dire. We're still on the top of the table. Yeah.
Not again, surely not again. This is from Pumpernickel. I like Chris Scott. I think he's articulate, intelligent, and clearly a good coach. But from the outside looking in, is he too smart for his own good? Is he stubborn enough not to recognise some seemingly obvious glaring deficiencies that arise year after year? Is he surrounding himself with yes men in the coach's box? Is he being challenged or tested? No assistant coaching changes last year means the players are hearing the same messages from the same people for the last 18-plus months. Is it time for a change of personnel in the coaching ranks? I'd like to see them mix it up, bring in some fresh ideas, voices. I'm hoping the rumours of a heavy training block are true. Would be great for the coach to give us supporters an idea of WTF is going on. But Mr. Scott gives me the impression that us dumb folk just don't have the mental capacity to understand the complexity of how or why we win and lose games of footy. There's a lot to answer there, Pumpernickel. That was looked at, that a lot of people did wonder that there were no changes. There was some shuffling internally of the assistant coaches. Some roles changed. Ironically, once the runners were stopped from being allowed on the ground, Nigel Lappin stopped being the runner and went back into the coach's box. So don't know what you read into that. It's hard to know. Like the first language of football is lying. We're not going to get told the truth on something. So,
and I guess, you know, it's easy for us to be couch critics. It's easy enough for us to see it from a different perspective. We're watching one angle, one view, whether it be us watching the ball from the MCG, from GMHBA, or on the TV. We're only seeing a small part of the inner workings of what's going on. So it's easy enough for us to make a call. There are a lot of moving parts, and that's not necessarily saying what Chris Scott is doing right or wrong, but there is so many working parts, and it's one thing to translate in what you want, but then you need to get your assistant coaches in on it. You need to get the players in on it. Yep. And that does take time as well, especially if you are making some late changes.
Yep.
You're changing an old system or an old way of doing something, or yep. maybe something has been ingrained. You're trying to eliminate the yep. way that's been done to instill, you know, new systems and that going yeah. forward. So there's so many working parts.
And unless you're in it, we guess, and some of it's educated and we yep. have an idea what to do, but some of it we can be off the mark.
And I guess it depends too. When this is still a workplace, so it's at the end of the day, it's a sport we love, we're passionate about, mm-hmm. but it's still a business, it's still a company, and people are still learning on the job. So there has to be a little bit of patience too, especially with some of the younger guys coming through. They're still learning how to perform at an elite level as well. Yep. They're not going to get it straight from the very start.
Yep. All right, Daz Broncos, our LA correspondent. Better check the K-Rock hard drive. I reckon this one's going to be a long episode. Actually, it's probably going to be one of the shorter ones with no Benny. Tough weekend for those in and out of the K-Rock box. Has Benny recovered? Well, we haven't seen him. He's down at Barham Valley Golf Club and very busy. Cats, he's being managed. What a shady show that was. Kind of like of some of the previous week's shady shows. And shady was not the adjective of choice, but it was the K-Rock approved adjective to air. I don't believe any GFC player is soft or weak. I've sometimes been given reason to question their desire to win the ball. However, I'm not an astute footy mind, but I do know when I see players with eyes only for the balls in for the ball in contests, it shows. And players who are standing around the contest waiting for someone else to get it stand out too. I saw too much of the latter this week. I get there are structures and roles to be played, but have we overcomplicated things to the point where see ball, get ball is no longer a positive thing? Simplify the game and let them do what they do best. Where have we gone wrong and how can we fix it? How long you got, Daz? Just right now, ball movement's hurting them. They're being well defended. That's what it's coming down to. Teams are taking away where the Cats want to play the game, and that's as simple as it what is. Have teams work Geelong out? Some may have some are better. You know, the teams that have beaten Geelong have found the way to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams have tried to do what the teams that have done. What they've done over the last few weeks with winning games against Geelong have tried it, but probably aren't good enough to do it. And Geelong's talent has helped in a way. So,
and you've mentioned it a couple of times on the Departure Lounge as well, that this year, probably more so than a couple of previous years, but in the last decade, the competition's getting tighter.
Yep.
So there's no clear definition between the top half and the bottom half anymore. And I mean, it is literally going to come down to round 23 to decide the top eight. Like, yep. It is that tight. And I guess
overall, not just the top eight, but how the top eight looks too, how it falls.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you're taking that into account where overall, I think it's probably, if you look at the score, the overall, you know, finishing score, the final score at the end of each game, it's clearly a lot more defensive. That they're not kicking as many goals, or at least the score isn't as high as previous
years. So the four losses, they've been held to under 10 goals in each of them.
Exactly. So you look at the competition overall, it's have they worked Geelong out? Yes. Have teams risen to the occasion? Yes. Are teams improving? Yes. Are the ones who probably thought that they had a clearer run or a stronger first half to the 2019 season, their weaknesses are starting to show now, or at least other teams are actually finding that crack to get through, and all of a sudden that evens out the competition again.
Yep. And then when you get through that crack, you can kick it open like the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
Turkey Tom, I'm not sure the topic of who to play ruck will be talked about. Well, it has been. Neither Stanley or Smith seem up to it. The ruck options in the VFL, Fort and Abbott, don't inspire much hope either. Well, Fort's been playing 40, kicked 6 last week against Port Melbourne. Time to try something different. Buzzer, 7, Blitz to share the rucking duties and just see what happens. Things can't get any worse. I know this isn't going to happen, though. On a different subject, time to stop giving the players mini holidays. In the interview with Danger on K-Rock, he said they were doing the normal training routine, but also mentioned he and other players went to Rottnest Island. I don't begrudge the players some downtime, but until they can start winning after a bye or mini bye in this week's case, they should be banned from playing the tourist. And just a final comment on Tom's interview with Danger. He did get a bit defensive when his kicking was mentioned, didn't he? A little bit.
Yeah, when a weakness is pointed out, I think that's just a natural defence of anyone. You know, you naturally want to defend yourself or stand up for yourself. But just on the Rottnest Island thing, I'm only hearing that for the first time from an outsider's perspective. If they were in Geelong, it's no different to them spending half a day with their kids down the beach.
Yeah, or going surfing.
Correct. So it's only because they're interstate and it's only because they've posted it on social media that a few people might be getting, you know, up and about going, hold on, that's not good enough, we're coming off a loss. you still need to manage your time. You still need to have some downtime and relax and disconnect, because it can't all be footy.
Yeah, there's only as much time as you can do scrolling through Twitter and Instagram or Snapchat.
Right.
Playing cards, staring at the four walls of your hotel room. So you've actually got to do something.
You go stir crazy.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, get cabin fever, and that's no good for anybody. Cat to the future. To what extent have we been done in by our own list profile? Mix of older players getting niggles towards the end of the season and kids who haven't built the endurance to run out a full season yet. Sounds dicey going into finals. Has the disappearance of our drive off the back line had a lot to do with Clark being moved to the middle? The kid plays on at every opportunity and has a fantastic penetrating kick, which forces players to run for him. The thing of his timing of his move in our form slump is conspicuous. And is Charlie Constable a serious option for generating some contested possessions to push the barometer in our favour, despite averaging 68% game time? Does it mess with rotations too much if a player can only run out three quarters? Just on Constable, he's not a great endurance beast yet. He's probably still at least two pre-seasons away from being able to really give what Geelong want. Although he's been linked to a move to St Kilda, according to one report during the weekend, Ryan Abbott.
Yeah, right.
Maybe in a deal for Jack Stephen. Now, see, some of those Cats kids that are with their endurance are actually pretty good. Like Ryan Myers is a top three at the club.
Yeah.
He's a beast. He'll have no issues running out the season. There are some niggles, but that's going to happen at every club. But it's a good point. Maybe. Something we'll probably need to dig a little bit deeper on.
I was just going to add or ask you a question on that, because there is obviously some talk, like we've seen in weeks gone, you know, when there was the move to blitz halves in the ruck or centre. Is it obviously you'd love to have a team that has a position, they perform well in it, and you get some consistency heading into finals. But is it actually a credit to the Cats where they have players that can step into other positions where needed? It's not ideal, but does it just kind of show the depth to the Geelong Football Club when they have players that, if there is a spot where there is an injury or if someone has been a bit lacklustre in the game, that somebody else can step up?
Yeah, it's a positive, but it's also a negative. Yeah. Geelong built their first half of the season on the fact that players played their roles.
Yeah.
And they're right, and they didn't.
Have they now panicked because some are falling away from either fitness or because there's been injury, or some have just underperformed?
No, I wouldn't say, not panic. I'm sure they're obviously looking closely at it, wondering, well, hang on, what's gone wrong? Why are we 3-4 over the last seven after being 11-1? I guess we'll know more tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Foxdog 50, hey boys, I'll ask a couple of questions. What's more left field? And it's not an obvious question about concerning the form we're in. This was reported on Fox Footy yesterday. This is early in the week about Jack Stephen coming to Geelong.
Yeah.
Look, everything points to Jack Stephen playing with Geelong next year.
Okay.
How that happens, who knows? Basically saying we may trade Constable in a deal for Stephen, to a lesser extent Ryan Abbott. Surely we'd have rocks in our heads to trade Constable, who generally will be a great long-term player for the club, for a 30-year-old who is on the other end of the scale and having issues which can't get on the field. I don't know how it's going to work. But Charlie Constable is from the Bayside suburbs of Melbourne, so maybe he'll go, close to home, knows the area. Opportunity, or he'll fight his way and go, all right, I'm a pre-season away from playing more senior footy and I build up again, and then in 2 years' time I'm a regular member of the Geelong midfield once, we start phasing out some of the older guys.
I don't know too much about Jack Stephen, but why does he want to come to Geelong, or why are Geelong looking at him?
Oh, well, there's always just the local link. He's a Falcons boy. He tried to get here last year.
Right.
Yeah, and obviously he's been battling mental health issues, been documented, whether he wants to be closer to home. May have something to do with it as well. So, Cool Cat 75, after Hawthorn game made it 3 from 5 losses, I was prepared to give the Cats a chance to turn around their form during the winter slog. However, that stretch is now seven average games, and after the last loss against a terribly undermanned Fremantle, I have a nagging fear we have permanently dropped to become a 6-12 team despite our ladder position. Contender or pretender, where do you guys sit? Not a pretender, somewhere in between. They're not a pretender. But right now, they're not a contender. Right now, Richmond, West Coast, Brisbane, right now. Geelong are, I think, third on the line of betting for the flag. But I think there's three clubs, maybe even the Giants, four clubs in front of them.
They've definitely earned their place in the finals. They've definitely shown when they're riding that wave, they're unstoppable. But they have to find that form again, or at least look back in the footage or something, find that motivation that got them there.
Yeah.
There's work to do. I agree with you. Somewhere in the middle. They they've gotten to top spot for a reason. They're currently holding up the top of the ladder for a reason. They just need to rediscover that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a $64,000 question.
Yeah.
How do you rediscover that? Thanks for all your questions. Really appreciate it that have come through. Some of them we didn't go through just because they've dated a little bit from when they were asked earlier in the week. We apologise that we're a little bit later in the week with the podcast, but it has allowed us to have a look at team selection for Saturday's clash with North Melbourne. It's retro round too.
Yeah, so what's the Guernseys that they're wearing?
So the jumpers are... They're going to be the same material that they wear now, but they're going to have the look of the old woolen knit jumpers. Some of the badging will be changed. The current Geelong logo will be changed to the one that was used through the mid-'80s to late 90s.
Are we bringing the hairstyles back too for game day?
Don't be surprised if Dangerfield rocks up with some sort of moustache and the sideies. Some of the stuff the Cats have done around, it's actually really good. They've picked North Melbourne again to do it. Did against North Melbourne last year. Great to see Gary Ablett Jr. donning a wig and a number 5 jumper with a bit of a comb over to look like the old man. So well done to the Cats on that. They've done some good work around that space. So it should be a cracking clash, Stamps. You'll be there on all the socials?
Absolutely. Covering off socials for K-Rock Football. I'll also be quarter time on field for Dance Cam for K-Rock and Time Zone. And we're actually going to be pulling out a retro tune for this weekend as well. So for your chance to win, make sure you get up out of your seat too. Right.
Keep an ear out for that one. Thanks for joining us, Stampsy.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. I'll look forward to Benny missing out on another podcast so I can join you again.
This has been the Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Kurz Hire. K-Rock Footy doubleheader from midday, Melbourne and Collingwood. And then we flick the switch down to GMHBA Stadium around 5:15 on Saturday for the Cats and the Roos. Sunday from 2 with Richmond and Carlton from the G.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack Podcast on iTunes.